What's the secret to running profitable PPC on Amazon?
You have to understand PPC is a tool that is there to magnify the success that your product already has. PPC is not there to save your product. PPC is not there to bring the success that your product is not going to have organically.
Is that why sellers find advertising so hard?
When you start jumping to your PPC dashboard and you start seeing ACOS that is higher than what you expected, then unfortunately you start behaving from an emotional point of view.
Is it too late to sell on Amazon?
I would say is...
Welcome to Surviving Amazon, the podcast that exposes the brutal truth behind selling on Amazon, where only the strongest survive. We bring you insider stories and strategies from experts and sellers who've been through all the ups, the downs, and the moments that made them question if it was even all worth it. I'm Johnny Bradley, and today we're joined by Vincenzo Toscano. He has bombarded his way through the madness of selling on Amazon. After ditching his life as an aerospace engineer for selling on Amazon, he found that he had systems and processes that were working for him, and others wanted to know his secrets. He went on to found the full service agency for Amazon and Walmart e-commerce. He's also the host of the E-commerce Lab podcast, where he discusses all things Amazon. And when he's not doing all of that, you can find him basically at every single Amazon event globally. Yeah. Basically, this man doesn't sit still. So he's lived it, he's survived it, and he's here to share exactly how he did it. So Vincenzo, my first question is, how do you survive Amazon?
So first of all, Johnny, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure. And you know, I always say this to you, I think you'd put in some solid content out there, which is actually helping other sellers survive. So I appreciate what you're doing with, you know, the Seller Pro Academy. So keep crushing it.
Thank you.
But yeah, that's a pretty cool question, to be honest. I get asked all the time, like, how you actually survive in the Amazon space and at the same time, you know, have a life, you know? Mm. And I would say is... You know, I'm not going to lie to you. It's definitely a business model that takes a lot of courage. And when I say that, it's like, I feel whenever we talk about Amazon, we always try to focus on the execution point of view, but there's a lot of mindset behind, guys. Mm. Like, when I say that is when I was getting started on Amazon, trust me, the initial months, year or so, like, it was crickets to some extent. Like, it really was a tough period for me. I think the reason why I want to start this answering this question with this is because I'm sure for a lot of you Amazon sellers that, you know, hearing this podcast, just as you guys, I did the same. I was devouring content day in, day out. And I think when you start hearing the success story from people like Yoni, like myself and so on, you might start thinking, oh, it's actually isn't that what it is, and you might start creating this expectation that you need to succeed tomorrow, and it takes a lot of hard work. So I want to start with that, because I feel if you have the mindset in the right place and you are understand that if you are really loving what you're doing, and on top of that you really trust the process with all the things we try to teach you, it's a matter of time before, you know, you see the light at the end of the tunnel.
I was gonna say, like, just on that, there was something really cool coming after that, I know, so hold that thought. Is it like a cliche, right? Because I hear this a lot, particularly when I very first started in business. There's a few cliches that I would hear, like, your network is your net worth. And I was like, yeah, bullshit. Like, come on. Like, really, it's just about, you know, making money. You know, throughout my career as an entrepreneur, I realized that that couldn't be more true, right? And the mindset thing of 80, 90% mindset, I think you're so right, because, you know, if the first year is tough, right, you're starting a business, the first 2 years is really tough because you've got no money, right? You're always investing in more stock. It takes a lot of mental fortitude to actually push through that. And what people, I guess what you said is that, you know, we make it look easy, but we say that it's hard, but make it look easy. And sometimes people don't believe that.
Yeah, I would say, and if I'm honest with you, the reason why it's difficult a lot of times, not on the execution. I mean, don't get me wrong, there is a lot of strategy. A lot of times the reason why people fail is because you don't have the mental bandwidth or the energy to keep doing the consistency in terms of a task to get you where you need to go to have a successful brand on Amazon. So I can tell you, like, I know so many people had amazing products, amazing brands, amazing ideas, and they just couldn't, you know, sustain the load in their shoulders of having to go through this a period that, you know, you're not going to have success, but still you have to believe in yourself and stop all the outside noise. Because while you're going through this phase, it's not only your mind playing trick on you, it's also your mom, your father, your brother, your friends say, oh, why are you doing this Amazon thing, or all here and there. And I mean, we're talking Amazon, and this, of course, is a focus, but it comes with anything that you do in business. Every single time you try to do something as an entrepreneur, people around you is going to look at you like you are an alien, because the reality is that being an entrepreneur is not common these days. You know, people unfortunately, you know, it's not as before. The entrepreneur was a big thing. Now it's getting more and more difficult for people to understand the effort it takes. And if you're one of them that really want to have that as part of your life, you need to understand that you're going to have a lot of difficulties. But trust me, once you get over that mountain, it's so beautiful being able to say, you know, all my efforts is paying out. And I think the biggest prize you're going to get is being able to do whatever you want with your time. For me, at this stage, if I'm honest with you, it's not even about money anymore. It's about the fact that if tomorrow when I go to Italy and visit my grandparents, I can do it and I don't have to ask for a holiday, right? Mm-hmm. So this is what it's all about, right? Now, let's jump into strategy because we came here to learn Amazon stuff. I was getting two Tony Robbins here. So now, in terms of strategy, guys, I would say what really is going to make you stand out and succeed in Amazon 2024 is, first of all, understanding that your business is not Amazon. And why do I say this? Of course, we're going to start on Amazon. That's where the money is and that's where the revenue is going to start. But from the very beginning, we need to structure our thoughts and our execution into building a brand that can go beyond on Amazon, because the days of only building a product that is essentially just a commodity to do some quick cash on Amazon, those days are over. Amazon is a distribution channel, is a very good channel because Amazon brings all the channel and exposure to us. But that means at the same time that we can also put all the eggs in that basket, because as in one side of the coin, Amazon is, yes, the best market to be in terms of exposure. On the other side, Amazon is also very first when it comes to taking you down within 24 hours. The fees sometimes are very high when it comes to certain niches. The PPC is very competitive, so you need to be able to understand the pros and the cons. Mm-hmm. When you understand that and start seeing that Amazon essentially is a huge opportunity but has its flaws, that's where you need to approach with the omni-channel approach. And then, of course, we're going to go into the details and all of that. Amazon in 2024 has to be attacked from the perspective that I'm going to put my brand in Amazon, I'm going to create the cash flow, I'm going to create the consistency in terms of, people finding my product and buying on a repetitive basis so I can build up the revenue. And then I'm going to use that to spread my wings into DTC, into TikTok Shop, into Walmart, into eBay, into Etsy, so many ramifications you can take. Mm-hmm. Because when the dark days come, which sometimes come on your Amazon journey, you're going to need to make sure that your revenue doesn't go to zero or fluctuates consistently. That's where most sellers go. Actually, under every single time I talk to an Amazon seller that they are not able to survive, it's because all the revenue was on Amazon. So if you take this approach from day one and build a brand that is built to go beyond Amazon, that's the first huge check I need to put on my product research, on my brand development, understanding that the product has to be omni-channel friendly. We can call
you've got to be able to sell it. And I did a podcast with one of my friends I've known for years called Jordan Kilgour. So he has a gaming company, and they had this problem with Amazon. They started 2016-17 or so, and they had most of their listings taken down overnight, and it was because of drugs, right? And they were it was a gaming controller, so their revenue dried up literally overnight, and they were getting 95% of their revenue from Amazon, and that forced them to move to TikTok at the time. That was a very good move for them, but it was something that if they had done that previously, they wouldn't have had that period of like, oh my god, we've got like bills to pay, we've got staff, we've got a warehouse, and we don't know if we're gonna have to lay people off in the minute. If there's people that are starting listening, one thing they might be thinking is, right, well, as soon as I start, I've got to get off of Amazon, which I don't think that's what you're saying. I believe you're saying is use Amazon because it's a marketplace with millions of
customers.
As a launchpad, figure out your marketing, figure out what works, because there is going to be a period of like, well, you know, what does actually sell this product? Who is our real customer? And then you go, cool, let's then take this approach. We've got Amazon working. Let's move to TikTok or to eBay or to Walmart. And then let's do that. And after we've got that, then let's move to somewhere else. And eventually you have all of these different marketplaces. You get the omni-channel presence.
Exactly.
You know what, like Tony Robbins, right? You know what people say where they're like, oh, you've got to have 7 streams of income. And people think, right, well, I've got to start and I've got to get 7 straight away. That's not how it works. You get one working
and build on top of it.
And you build, exactly. You build it.
And I think something I want to say, like when I mentioned, the reason why I mentioned that this has to be done from day one is because as part of your pro research, actually, this can be already a criteria you can put in place. And what do I mean by that? Let's say you're looking for your next product to be launched or create your new brand. Some of the things I, for example, look at all times with my pros and my customers is making sure the product is social commerce friendly, right? Mm-hmm. This means I want to come with a product that can create that wow effect. It's actually a funny product to showcase in camera. It's a product that influencer can easily integrate during their lifestyle or blogging or things like that. Because now what it allows me to do is, by me understanding that social commerce is to mm-hmm. stay, and we see TikTok Shop being so big now, and we see other platforms integrating more and more the shopping within the social media interaction, your product has to be friendly on those channels. If you only now think a product from being friendly to Amazon, that's it. You are capping yourself into the potential that you can have outside of Amazon, and that's also potential to do more revenue, more profit, and so on. So that's what I mean, that don't always do your research based on blindly Amazon numbers. Also go a step forward and think, oh, actually, can this product potentially end up on a retail store? Mm-hmm. Can this product potentially also be a part of an affiliate network? Can this product be part of a platform that has nothing to do with Amazon? Because then you can start designing the blueprint of mm-hmm. how you can reverse engineer that into your branding and so on. So that's essentially what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So mm-hmm. like if I was to sell a Ziploc bag for sandwiches, it's like, am I going to be able to sell
capping yourself? Pizza?
Yeah, it's more of a commodity. Like, people just buy it based on price. And like, I'm not going to be able to get influencer deals where they're saying, oh, this is the best like Ziploc bag you've ever had. It's not going to work, is it? We do see that happening a lot. And I've seen definitely for our clients, the people that are able to have those products are easily demonstrated. They have a very good use case. There's maybe a particular pain point that someone's looking mm-hmm. to get out of, or, you know, somewhere where they're moving towards the pleasure of, you know, using the product, not in that way. Vincenzo, come on, not like that. but you know what I mean, right? And then the question comes up, right? People say, well, surely everyone's always, they've done these products already. And is it too late to sell on Amazon? What's your thought?
To be honest with you, this is the moment where you have the biggest amount of data you could ever have at your disposal to make the smartest decision when it comes to selling on Amazon. So why do I say that? When I got started like 7 years ago, a lot of the things were guessing. Mm-hmm. You couldn't really study data in depth because there weren't the tools. Brand analytics didn't exist back then. Also guessing because there weren't a lot of case studies in terms of how to do proper launches and all of that. Mm-hmm. So now you go online and you have all these fingertips, and some of that content is even free. So what I'm trying to say, yes, is there is definitely more competition, but at the same time, if you put the effort into doing your research, now you have actually a safer method to launch a product and be successful, because you have now so much data that you can be super smart in terms of how you structure your listing, how you structure your PPC, how you reverse engineer the avatar within a specific niche to create the right images, which before 7 years ago, you wouldn't even do that. You would just put random images. Now, there's so many tools out there, like, for example, Product Opinion. You can actually properly analyze an audience and make sure your images connect from an emotional point of view to actually convey a conversion, just to give a quick example. The thing that is actually late in terms of Amazon, to answer your question, is yes, if you're telling me you're coming with $1,000, yes, it's late to launch on Amazon with $1,000, 100%. Mm-hmm. But if you actually see this as a serious business, which is, you know, actually having a budget in place that is significant to cover your inventory, your advertising, have also some cash on the side to cover your second batch of inventory and other miscellaneous costs that come with running a business, then I would say if you do your due diligence, do the research and the data is there, there's no better time than today. I think the reason why people think the Amazon era is always because Amazon, unfortunately, 7-8 years ago was seen as a quick way of making money. Just the same thing happened with crypto, the same thing happened with NFTs and all of that. I have friends that are making money with NFTs. I have friends that are making money with crypto, but it's not, there is no noise in the market anymore because it's not a quick win anymore. Mm. But the people I know are putting the effort and time, they are doing it. So that is the same with Amazon. If you're putting the effort and the energy, it's a huge potential, especially now more than ever, because so many people are pretty much, throwing the towel because they got used to the easy wins and now it's not an easy win anymore. And the ones that actually put in the work, trust me, they're having a good ride in the space. Yeah.
That's a really good analogy, because like when I started 2017, there was a lot of buzz around Amazon at the time. A lot of it was in the US. And, it was a lot easier to put basically any old shit up there.
Anything.
And it would just be like, it's top,
you could
top page
a
one.
Cup. A cup and make thousands.
Yeah. And, you know, I quickly saw hey, like, this doesn't look sustainable. Like, it looks like it's going towards branding. And obviously with the new brand tools that they give out with Amazon, with the incentives that they give brand owners, it's kind of like writing on the wall for years saying, hey guys, we want to focus on brands, not on, you know, cheap, shitty products. And, you know, Amazon, I think it's always going to go that way, and it's going to get harder. But I think the nice thing that you said is that as it gets harder, for those people that really want to push and do the research and figure it out, then the tools are there. And those tools are going to get a lot better as well over the next few years. If you think about how AI tools have helped us in the last like 6 months, how they're going to affect going forward, I think is going to be incredible, especially with imagery and like getting into the customer's head and being able to speak to them. I was doing some work with ChatGPT today, looking at doing a new product, or we are doing a new product, and wanted to find a way to be different to all the competitors. So took all the copy from all of them and said, analyze all of this for the pros and the cons, right? What's good about their copy? What's bad about their copy? And it spits out a bunch of ideas. And then you can go, cool, so write me a new copy, which gets rid of all the cons and keeps all the pros. And it goes, cool, and it's all done. I'm not going to use all of that, but I'm going to take influence from that to then make our listing copy so that we're trying to fill some of those gaps. Doing that 5 years ago, or even 2 years ago, would have been a manual, horrible process. And unless you're a copywriter, it's going to be really, really challenging. We say, like, you know, now is a good time. The next best time is going to be like tomorrow, right? But I do think that what you're saying is true, is if you really put the time and effort into it, and particularly the consistency, then there is a lot to be had. I know this is a long-winded point, but I'm circling back to it, because when you have those times where it's like make money online, you know, this new opportunity stuff, like it was a few years ago, a bunch of people flood the market. They all kind of like get wrecked and end up, you know, going off and doing something else, leaving the people that actually want to do it. And I think we're at that point where we're left with people that want to do it.
I'm seeing actually that in some categories. Some categories for us actually are getting easier, because all the people that the only way they knew of doing things is just a generic product with driving pricing down, or didn't focus on branding, they cannot sustain the cash flow burn anymore. So they're going under, they are closing their listings down. They're having now a consolidation of the market. In fact, I think 2025 is going to be one of the best years to actually sell on Amazon, for the mere fact that what is going to happen, a lot of people is not going to be able to essentially order stock again in Q1, because they haven't done proper projections of the inventory. And on top of that, they didn't build the profits to same the PPC. So that means they're not coming back in Q1. Then in Q1 also, what is happening is, seeing everything that's happening in the panoramas, specifically microeconomics and the political thing that's happening in the States, I think the confidence is also going to rise again, especially in the States. So that's also going to drive more people start spending again more in online. So the few that actually survive, given the void that the masses leave, and the extra influx of population going back because of confidence in their behavior of shopping online, that's my prediction. So I think 2025, if you really put your effort now on building a product, it's going to be one of the years that you can also take advantage of those voids, because those voids usually in Amazon happens all the time. You have saturation, then saturation goes away, then saturation come back. So I think next year is going to be a void, and you can definitely leverage that. Just make sure, of course, which we're going to talk now in the coming points, you implement the right strategies in place in terms of validation of product, PPC, and launches, so you can successfully scale the brand forward. Yeah.
Can we talk about Cosmo and Rufus? Because I want to understand your thoughts about this, tying into this 2025 thing, right? I ordered for the first time using Rufus the other day. It was a heater that I've got set down here, right? I didn't know which one to buy. I was like, I want one to fill this room. It's 40 square meters. I want it to turn on before I get in, blah, 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 blah. And the option that came up as like the second referred product was, if I searched for the main keyword that I was really searching for, it was like 8th, 9th or 10th in the search results, but it came up second. The first one, I didn't buy it because when I went to the listing, I couldn't validate what Rufus had said. It said it has this, that, and the other, and I couldn't validate that with the images, so I didn't buy it. I was like, well, I don't trust it just yet. But I bought the second one. So I think that potentially leaves a big wide door open for people that optimizing for more like natural language, for benefits, for use cases, for the different activities. I think it leaves the door open for new sellers to make it a little bit easier to survive. And those people that didn't optimize for mobile or anything like that, or they didn't optimize for whatever, you have a ability where another seller can come in, a newer seller, and start taking some of the sales from the people that have been there for a while. What do you think?
So I've been with Rufus, if I'm honest with you, and Cosmo, we've been seeing mixed results. So I understand what you're saying. Like sometimes recommendations don't properly connect with what the consumer is looking for. The simple answer to that is that it's in beta right now. So there's a lot of things that haven't perfected yet. But we already are seeing certain optimization we're doing with, you know, our listings that are helping us get prioritized with Cosmo and Rufus. So one of the things that, for example, we find that's being very helpful is we're starting to see that when you make questions to Rufus usually by nature what it's going to try to do is try to find if somebody made the same question in a listing. So essentially what we're trying to do now is come up with the top 10 questions that you will make to Rufus as a human being, just by common sense. Like, I need a heater, as you mentioned, that heats the room under this capacity, or is automatic, or doesn't overheat. So many questions you can make. And you can generate this question with ChatGPT, by the way. If you don't know what kind of question, you can create them. And usually by adding these questions on your listing and then getting my answer, then that's going to actually, from an SEO perspective, when Rufus tried to connect your question with a listing, your listing can get prioritized because you have those questions in the listing. So that's one way you can start giving priority in terms of in the eyes of Rufus. The other thing that you can also do that we see is working is also your images, right? Mm-hmm. So something that we're doing with all our listings is that we make sure all our listings when it comes to images are run through something called Amazon Recognition. Amazon Recognition is a AWS service and you get 1 year for free. Essentially, Amazon Recognition, what it does, it uses machine learning to tell you what an image represents on Amazon Eyes. And now what we're making sure is, like, if, let's say, my heater is meant to reflect on an image that, let's say, your heater is able to work outdoors in your garden, so you can use it next to you in the garden and it hits you. Therefore, what we try to do is come up with an image where the heater is outdoor and everything, but we try to do multiple iterations under the machine learning. What it reads is heater, outdoor, garden, and then it can be
patio.
Yeah. And then when you do that consistently across all your images, and then the images essentially connect very deep into the what the product is meant to do from a relevancy point of view, we also see Rufus prioritizing that. And the final trick we also do is we now, every single product we launch, we try to make sure our packaging is actually an SEO packaging optimized. So what do I mean by that? If the heater is meant to be for outdoors, the first thing that we do is we put the box on the main image, and in very big, we put a heater for outdoors. Mm-hmm. As a phrase, right? Because then what is going to happen is when the machine learning reads the image, they also able to recognize a text. And by having that phrase, the first thing, if none of your competitors having that on your box, Rufus, the first thing he's going to do is going to go to the machine learning and say which images have connected with heater for outdoors. And if yours is the only one that has it on the image, that's also going to give you a boost. So again, these are ways to induce it. Of course, there are so many case studies. We are still trying to figure out like what other things we can do from an SEO perspective, because I still think SEO is here to stay. The simple reason for that, and I remember Bradley was giving an example in Korea when I was with him, is he was saying, like, for example, in Google, that now you have the AI assistants. Mm-hmm. He made a video in terms of who has the better data, Helium 10 or Jungle Scout, right? And he made this video in YouTube, and he was showing how Google now, when you make, and he made the example in live, like asking, oh, who has the better data, Helium 10 or Jungle Scout? And the AI was still picking his video over all the competitors because the title say exactly what the question is you asked to the AI. So that goes back to my example of why you need to replicate a similar questions on your listings on your Q&A section, because Rufus is going to do the same with your listings.
That's a really good point. Really, I had someone reach out to us about the Seller Pro Academy, and we go, how did you find out about us? Thinking it'll be my book or YouTube, and they wrote ChatGPT. I was like, no way, as if, like, you actually find things. Obviously, I do agree, like, SEO is here to stay. And, you know, I don't personally read product descriptions. I don't read bullet points. I don't read titles. Maybe subconsciously I'll see a few.
They don't have the time.
They have the time for that. Yeah. You know. Like, I scroll through the images. And one of the big concerns that I sometimes have with essentially keyword jamming in images is that it kind of incentivizes you to push the characters, the number of characters up, right, on an image. Mm-hmm. But then from a customer point of view, I then look at this and go, that's not what they want. They want an image that tells 1,000 words. So I think there's a really there's a very fine line between let's give it Amazon the information that it needs to give us exposure versus let's give the customer the information they need to purchase, because we know that people read at a certain pace, generally speaking. I think like three words every 1 second. So, you know, when I first started, it would be like, here's the list of features, bang, 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 and like 20 different like features on the page. And then realize that that could be good for like SEO, it could be good for recognition, but it's really bad for the customer because they don't actually read any of it. So one of the things I'm concerned about and how this is going to go into the future is, if you go too far one way, then it might make it great for the customers, but it might make it awful for something like Recognition or Rufus. And I think that's going to be a really hard balancing act. But if we get it right, then potentially you're into a really favorable position with Amazon and with customers, right?
Yeah. And that's what I think it also connects back to my initial point of why I think 2025 is going to be such a good year for launching, because there's going to be so much uncertainty because essentially the system is changing, that the ones that actually spend extra time to understand that are going to be able to leverage the void, that are going to leave the sellers that are essentially not adapting to the new way of how Amazon works. And combining that with what I just say, which is some sellers going under, what is happening economically, it can actually be your new ticket into, you know, having a smoother ride into entering Amazon with also successful product, right? So it's a win for everybody.
Yeah, so let's move on to PPC, right? Because this is the, obviously you guys, that's what you do. And you do everything, but obviously PPC is a pretty large part of that, right?
The main engine.
Yeah, it's the main engine. And you would talk about engines, wouldn't you?
I mean, that's why my brain operates at, you know, I used to do airplanes. So for me, it's like engine one, engine two. And so.
Good. So, it's the engine. It's the thing that makes everything work. It's the fuel to the fire, all that sort of stuff. What's the secret to running profitable PPC on Amazon?
So I would say something that we have to understand first before we go deep into, you know, how to successfully run PPC. You have to understand PPC is a tool that is there to magnify the success that your product already has, right? Mm-hmm. And why do I say that? PPC is not there to save your product. PPC is not there to bring the success that your product is not going to have organically. Because essentially, even if I'm playing the best strategies possible, I have the best keywords, the best campaigns, the right segmentation, but the product is not built for success from the perspective of the feature, the offer you're bringing to the table, how you're presenting it from an image perspective, the copy and price point, everything's going to go to waste. So that's something you have to understand. Like, product has to be properly optimized in terms of the foundation of the offer before PPC can be profitable, because PPC is a tool to bring traffic, essentially a structure that is optimized for conversion. The structure, which in this case the listing, is not optimized for conversion. PPC is not there to do the conversion for you. That's the other thing. Now, how we make a PPC profitable? So I will say another thing you guys have to do from the very beginning, from the moment you start doing your product development, is actually understand if you're actually going to be profitable in the first place. And I know this might sound as a surprise, but a lot of people, when they do pro research and doing the business plan to launch on Amazon, they don't understand what is going to be the average CPC. And if you don't understand what is the average cost per click, and you also don't understand what is the average conversion, you might fall into the trap of thinking that, yeah, this is a good product in terms of the revenue and all of that, but then mathematically sometimes happens, and I have seen so many times, even if you have a very good conversion, even if you have control of the CPC, numbers are not gonna allow you to be profitable at your current price point and what the market is working at in terms of the demand and so on. So that's why you need to make sure that you understand this before you actually start the conversation if my PPC is gonna be profitable or not, because sometimes the math is just not there in terms of, you know, even if I reach 20% conversion, which is very good on Amazon, and I keep control of my CPC, those two variables are the main drivers of your ACoS, TACoS, and so on.
I would say, making this really simple, if I had a 10% conversion rate and I had £10 worth of profit in my product that it was available, and my cost per click was £1, every 10 clicks I got one sale, but that one sale then became unprofitable because it cost me £10, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. Like, that's the thing you have to understand, that sometimes if your price is not within the bandwidth that mathematically makes sense in terms of the average conversion, the average cost per click. There's no point in going through all this hustle because even if you reach the optimal status of your main competitors, you're not going to get there. And you may ask yourself, okay, but why is these sellers that are still there if numbers don't make sense? Because I can guarantee you the reason why they're profitable is because they have a big chunk of sales coming from organic, like 60-70%. So they're able to offload the unprofitability that PPC might be bringing to them, right? So on those scenarios, yes, it makes sense to keep selling this product because they are not paying for the CPC, but you are when you're going to launch. And unless you are able to go through that huge cash flow burn, it's not going to be worth a thing.
Yeah, I was just going to ask just about the organic versus PPC split. One thing I say to people, and feel free to prove me wrong here. This is a genuine question. That I say, look, you know, when you're ranked and you're getting organic sales, and yes, you're getting 60-70% organically, I would say spend as much money as humanly possible on advertising and don't care about your ACOS, care about your TACOS, right? It's like, what's the advertising as a business? Do you see people at scale doing that, or do you still see people just saying, well, I want to focus on ACOS? Like purely.
So I would say if the conversation when you launch on Amazon is to purely focus on profitability and ACOS, unfortunately, that's not going to allow you to scale, because the way Amazon works is that in order for you to have a sustainable growth, you need to make sure that essentially you build an organic ranking, right? And in order for you to build an organic ranking where you have none, essentially you had to sacrifice your profit in exchange of you making an investment, an upfront investment to subsidize essentially your sales by bringing extra traffic that you need to compensate your lower conversion because of having a lower review rate, and be able to reciprocate more sales, which those sales from a PPC perspective bring organic. So you need to understand how the Amazon machine works, because sometimes I have these conversations all the time from people that you know, might come from not the Amazon world, might come from the retail world or other channels, and they don't understand why I need to lose money to successfully scale on Amazon. It's like when you open a store. Like when you open a store, you also have upfront expenses from the perspective of, you know, I have to open the store, I have to buy the furniture, the wage of the employees the first few weeks while I get sales. The same is with Amazon. It takes time for you to get at the profitability point, and that is usually reflecting a higher ACOS, which again, as long as you track this and you're having a high ACOS, but all metrics are pointing that you're moving the right direction in terms of success from the perspective of my organic ranking is actually improving, I'm getting more market share, my impressions are increasing, my clicks, that's actually a signal that even if from a numerical point of view things might not be seeing that they are moving the right direction, you're still having a significant growth that is going to then put you in the position to be profitable.
Okay, perfect. So you track your keywords essentially, right? And make sure that anything you're doing when you're launching those first, you know, couple months, 2-3 months, is if you don't track, you don't know what's happening with the keywords from a ranking perspective, then what are you really doing, right? You're just feeding Amazon, and you're paying, you know, you're putting money into their bank account, right? We've got to be able to get organic exposure. Is that why sellers find advertising so hard?
Yeah, so I would say that's one of the reasons, because when you start jumping to your PPC dashboard and you start seeing ACOS that is higher than what you expected, then unfortunately you start behaving from an emotional point of view, right? And a tactical, analytical point of view. And that's where people start doing adjustment on a daily basis. They don't wait for enough data to be attributed to a keyword or a campaign to actually understand if the reason why I'm getting this performance is because of maybe a specific event, or it's actually consistency that might prove a specific action on my campaign. So you need to understand that PPC, as soon as you start getting emotional with it, that's where things can go sideways very fast. And you have to be smart enough to design your guidelines that define what success looks like from the perspective of organic ranking, from the perspective of my expenses, my ACOS and TACOS. And if certain thresholds are hit, essentially take action as you have defined and stop seeing it from the perspective of I'm losing money, I'm going to put all my campaigns off on my keywords off, where is where the momentum dies. And then by the time you realize all the effort that you put on this business now is going to essentially go to waste, and you need to start everything from scratch, right?
As a PPC agency, right? You must hear this quite a lot from clients when they're like, oh, no, no. And you must probably have to put out a lot of fires, and but they come to you emotionally, and you don't have to call out any names. But I assume you must see this quite a lot. Where, and I get this, right? People come to me and they panic, and they're looking at a day. They're looking at, you know, yesterday's results, and they're not looking at the whole month. They're not looking at their keyword rankings, you know. Is there something you have to say to people to just be like, chill? Like, how do you do that?
yeah. I know what you mean. It's such a tough thing, because I sometimes think that, yes, we as an agency not only are in charge of execution, but sometimes we're also psychologists to some extent. Because the reason why I say that is because, I mean, of course, for me now it's easy to stay calm, because I know how things work and what are the timelines for certain things to take effect. But yes, if you have never gone through this, of course, your mind is going to go into survival mode as soon as you start seeing things into the red, because that's how the brain works. You want to essentially avoid failure. You want to avoid, you know, the fact that people around you say things about you. It's all your mind playing tricks with you. So that's where I will always advise, surround yourself by people that have done this. And this is part of being part of a community like Seller Pro Academy. The fact that then you can be part of a community that, you know, you can share your concerns and they can tell you, yeah, that's going to be normal. Don't worry. You're going the right direction. That's going to take you a long way. But if you don't have that, I would say something that you can definitely use as well as a piece of wisdom to you know, keep the right when doing this is define very clear goals before the launch, as I just said, and understand that if the goal for you is organic ranking, that's going to be the goal. Stop focusing on ACOS and stop focusing on TACOS, and make sure you give your time to also let things play out. Like, say, I'm going to let myself 4 weeks or 8 weeks for my organic ranking to get here, because I know these are my main keywords. I know that once I get here, these organic sales are going to kick in and my TAC is going to lower. For 8 weeks, I'm not going to emotionally take any action or tweeting my campaigns of killing the momentum, because I know by having a look at people in the space and strategies that's the way of doing it. And I'm telling you, that's the way of doing it. Like, we do all the time. Unfortunately, we have to lose money every single time we launch a product. I need you to hear this. Like, I haven't seen actually a lot of launches where you actually make money the first few weeks. It's the way how Amazon works. And as long as you understand that, and you understand that after you go through that process and you believe in the process and the product is the correct one, things are going to come and start playing in the right direction for you. So you just have to understand that it's part of the game. Yeah.
I think that's a good mentality to use. And that's definitely more of an analytical approach rather than an emotional approach. You're saying, we've got 8 weeks. This is the goal. The goal isn't have a low ACOS, have a low TCOS, have all the sales and have all the rankings. It's something very specific of, we want to rank within the top whatever position for these keywords within this time frame, because we know that, you know, if we were to rank in the top, you know, 1 to 3 positions for that keyword, we might be able to get X percentage click share from that keyword, from that amount of sales, and make this much money. You can backtrack it all, can't you? You can work it out. Like, well, what can we get if we actually rank for these keywords? And then say, well, here's my budget for the PPC. This is what I'm willing to spend. I'm focused on sales. I'm not focused on ACOS. And then you'll end up getting the result. Whereas the other person that doesn't do that, they start the PPC and they go, oh, turn off. Oh, reduce the bid. Oh my God, we're making sales, but unprofitably, turn it off. And they end up, you know, basically just suffocating themselves so that they can't breathe. And I think that's really hard. Like, particularly with when I first started with checking sales on the Amazon Seller app, I found it to be like a blessing and a curse, because when sales were good, I'm like, oh my God, crazy happy. Like, I wake up in the morning, swipe down. Oh, like, I've done well. And if I've only just woken up, I'd then relax. I wouldn't put as much pressure on myself about doing work. And then equally, if there was hardly any sales at the beginning of the day, I'd panic and I'd act emotionally. And it got to the point where I had to delete the app. I just deleted it off my phone. I was like, I cannot continue to look at this first thing in the morning and last thing at night when I'm like checking to see if I've like made enough sales today. And that was a big change, because then you can go onto the computer, you go onto Seller Central, and then you do the analytical stuff. You say, well, these are my guidelines. This is what I'm here to do. And then I'm going to go and do it. And then eventually, once you can get that done by someone else, right, like you guys, then that takes that emotional thing completely off your hands. So you don't have to worry about the PPC. It's just, you know, it's being handled by people that know what they're doing, and you don't have that big emotional, you know, attachment to it. So I think there's stages that you go through as a seller. They're like, stage at the beginning, and then eventually realizing, okay, this is how I need to run the business.
I think that's the beauty as well of working with a partner that can help you with that, because we, at the end of the day, we don't have the same emotion as you, so we actually execute from a technical and data-driven approach, which makes sure it doesn't interfere with the process. But I agree, like, sometimes that's where people come to us and say, I cannot deal with this stress anymore, I need you to do it, and it can be beneficial. So it all depends on what is the type of dynamic that make you more comfortable in terms of running your business, mm-hmm. and making sure that whatever that dynamic you choose is the one that's actually gonna ensure the business is scale efficiently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point. Now, you do a lot of work with Walmart as well, right? And obviously for people in the UK, they might just be like, why is that significant? But if you're selling in the US, this is like really important, right? So are you able just to talk a little bit about, if I'm a seller selling in the US, like what's Walmart all about, and why maybe should I be using it? What's the big opportunity?
So I would say Walmart in the US is more essentially an opportunity that is designed, I would say, for people to set themselves for success in the coming years. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. Walmart, month after month, I know this because I constantly meet with them and we have brands and we do a lot of expansion there, is growing in terms of search volume, in terms of revenue. On average, we see brands doing 10 to 15% what they do on Amazon. So it's not significant addition of revenue. But given that I see all the things Walmart are doing, which are very similar to what Amazon has done in 2014, I clearly see a path. Walmart is going to eat a lot of the market share in the next 3 to 5 years. And now it's an early to market a strategy move in terms of setting your listings there, getting the organic ranking, getting a lot of reviews. So when the traffic explodes, which is already increasing month after month, you can leverage that influx into your business. So it's definitely a good way as well to diversify yourself. And on top of that, which we have some clients, if you also sometimes go become a unicorn, which there are already many cases where you start selling more on Walmart than Amazon, or you start selling very well, that's also a gateway for you to get into retail. We have some brands that, because they did very well on Walmart, after 1 year they were able to apply for the gold ticket, which is when Amazon bring you into the stores, and now they also have a retail presence, right, thanks to proving themselves on the Walmart online platform. So that's what I mean, and connecting back to my initial point, like the fact that you start designing a brand and a product to be beyond Amazon and be able to actually be a multi-platform omnichannel is definitely something that's going to open so many doors in the years to come.
I think that's important, because I've seen a few people, you know, do that over the years, and particularly for like online sellers, right, Amazon sellers, it's like, oh, a scary, like in real life stuff, whereas like Amazon, everything's done by them, they don't have to worry about anything, they've got to deal with it. If you go and sell in B&Q or Homebase or something, or in John Lewis, Debenhams, anything like that, it feels a lot more challenging, right? Have you seen a lot of that in the past? And do you think it's worth sellers going, look, let's see can we get into a physical store? You know, is that something that we want to do?
I mean, retail for us is definitely something that, going back to how you prepare your product for that, it goes back to simple things such as your packaging, right? I think making sure your product is retail ready, given the amount of criteria and things you have to go in terms of checklist to make your product retail ready, in essence, it's going to allow you to have your product so much better than your competition from a branding perspective, because those checklists are in point, because they have also psychological meaning behind in terms of how product has to be ready in terms of be able to be presentable on a store. So that's you can actually even use it as a plus, because if you go through those checklists and you make it happen on your product, now not only you are future proof for when the retail opportunity comes, and then Walmart is only one of them. We also, for example, do Alibaba, where we open B2B distribution. There's also ways of, for example, in the UK, like John Lewis and all of that, like if the product makes sense. But what I'm trying to say, if your product is meant and designed from the very beginning with that audience in mind, that also is tapping into something that most people on Amazon don't do, which is how you create that first impression to a consumer when they get your product, which is what people have on stores, right? Most people on Amazon use very basic packaging. They don't focus on the unboxing experience. They don't focus on the giftable opportunity. And if you do that, even if you don't have the opportunity in your hand, yes, that's going to take you so much more further than your competition.
I agree, because you never know who's buying that product. It could be a buyer for those companies, right?
It happened to me once. It happened to me. One of my products got bought by a retailer, and suddenly I got like 100 unit order. I thought it was a guy that was trying to do, like, you know, buy the inventory and resell it and everything. Another 100 units. Then I got an email. Oh, we really like to your product. We're going to get it into 50 stores. Can you open a wholesale channel for us? And like,
Cool. Yeah. I did a talk about this, and it was like, the title of the talk was, you never get a chance to make a first impression. Like, another second chance to make, what am I saying? You never get a second chance to make a first impression. But I actually rephrase that. The second impression is far more important than the first when it comes to selling on Amazon. So you sell the product. We put all of our effort into marketing and getting someone to actually buy the product. But once you buy the product, if it doesn't live up to the expectations, that means that people have buyer's remorse, they might return it, they won't refer it to a friend, blah, 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 blah. When they get that package, I think the statistic is probably not exactly correct. So 60 to 80% of people will not buy a product or rebuy from a brand that has poor packaging. Not because of the product, because of the thing that they're going to throw away, they won't buy again because it comes in like a brown, horrible box. And that really shook me a little bit, because a box play that much of an impact. But the studies say that it does, that if you put something in a luxury box, people are more likely to buy from you again. But if you don't put it in a luxury box, they are very, very unlikely to buy from you again, even if the product is good, which I think is crazy. You think, I know. What I mean?
So the impression is about everything. I think there is a famous YouTube video somewhere, I followed this experiment. They created this luxury store. Maybe you have seen this. And it was like brought out of China, like very cheap clothing and everything. And just because they made a fancy store with champagne and marble tables and super expensive furniture, the same shoe they were selling for $500 and people were paying for it. What I'm trying to say is, yeah, the impression, the perception sometimes can get you so further in branding, and also the way things are perceived, that people pay a premium for something that is actually in the essence of the manufacturing of the product, not premium. You know?
I agree. I think we're rounding up. So when people want to contact you guys, what's the best way?
You can find me as Vincenzo Toscano, very easy to find on all social media channels. ECOMC as well. You can find us on a website, ecomcy.com, ecomcy.com. More than happy for you to go to our website, book a free consultation with the team, and hopefully we can have a discussion about how we can partner with you and help you scale your brand on Amazon.
Exactly. Or go to any event and you'll probably be there.
Exactly. Yeah. I come to an event and I make sure I take a selfie.
Thank you again, Vincenzo, for helping us survive Amazon. Now, look, guys, if you've liked this episode, you found it helpful, please do share it with other sellers. Subscribe, comment, and like if you're watching it on YouTube or whatever, so we can continue to help other sellers survive on Amazon. Thank you again, Vincenzo, and see you soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.